Next Step 157, June 9th, 2011.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. Well, we are a podcast that looks at the fabric of life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. We call that Armedoxy, and we invite you to take a look with us right now as we take this next step. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, I could feel it. I could feel it. I could feel it in my voice. It's going. It's going. It's gone, man. I hope we'll make it through this next hour that we're together. Oh, it's so good to have you with us today. This is a very special edition of The Next Step. It happens to be 3 years that we complete today. Can you believe that? Every single week for the past 3 years, you've been getting The Next Step. We've been taking a next step, like it or not. I just realized that you may not be liking it. But that's the cool thing about podcasts. You know that? Have you ever thought about that? It's not like radio, where it's just being blared out at you, and you may just be driving along and just changing a channel, and there's somebody that just is, you just don't want to hear. Well, this is a podcast. You don't want to hear it. You don't download it, you know? You don't pick up the CD. You don't listen to it. It's kind of cool. And so, let's see. The other side of that is that all of you listeners are listening because you want to. So that's really neat too, isn't it? We've got a great core of group of people that are here, well, because they want to. And I just got to tell you, I am happy to be here with you today. It does signal a lot of things. This last few weeks have been just, well, difficult. All right, let's say challenging. Yes, they've been challenging. They've challenged us quite a bit. I'm going to be going through some a medical procedure tomorrow. And you know what? Preparing for it, it's not just the physical preparation. There's an emotional side to it. And it has been challenging. It kind of like brings you together, body, soul, and mind. So that's been kind of an interesting path that we've been taking. And I know some of you know about it and been praying. I appreciate the reflections that you have. I want to tell you that one of the exciting things about doing this podcast, and here we are at the end of year three, is that it's given us such a diversity of people, diversity of friends, and such a broad base of friends. And I do call you friends. I do appreciate all of the feedback that you give us, that you're here with us every week. And I want to make today an enjoyable one. I want to make today a very, well, a reflective one. You know, when you're at the end of 3 years, it gives you a chance to really reflect on what you're doing. What is it that drives you, that brings you here today? And I got to apologize for my voice. I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it through the big, massive epostle.net studios. Well, at least through the headphone. But I wanted to bring up the studio. Yes, of course, I have reasons for, because we are expanding. And that is so exciting. It is really, really exciting. I don't know if you caught it. It was in last week's sermon up on the net at apostle.net. But if not, let me tell you. One of our dear friends of this ministry's, member of this ministry's, Gary Parikin, arranged for a large donation from one of the large broadcasting companies. And it's a donation of equipment. We've got a very, very nice camera, some monitors, and a big mixer board. So now we just need, I know Ken is looking at me like, do you expect me to run that thing? Well, I know, Ken, I know. It is kind of old. It's like maybe, what, 3-year technology? And I know you're cutting edge, aren't you? You are just cutting edge. But this is a beautiful mixer board. There is a large video camera. And we're hoping that once everything settles in the next few weeks, and hopefully this summer will give us a little bit of time to regroup and recalibrate where we're going, we hope that in the fall we'll be able to start off some real professional broadcasts with this new equipment. And I'm excited about it. It does mark a new stage in the life of Apostle. Comes at a very important time. You know, when you mark off 3 years, or whatever it may be, where, you know, birthdays or even New Year's. I always think about New Year as an opportunity to really think and reflect about the past and where you're going today. In the same way, when you mark off 3 years, you get an opportunity to really think about what you're doing, what you're about, what's your purpose. And I remember 3 years ago, we started off this podcast based on, well, just a few prayers. It was a few prayers, and I remember my sister Anush pushing me, saying, you gotta do it, you gotta do it. And we did do it. We put out our first podcast in June 2008. And I don't know, I listened to it the other day. It's kind of scratchy, weird microphones, a lot of weird things on there too. But the message, the content is what caught people. Because it was an opportunity to talk about ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, but in a pop manner. And I thought about this week as I was reflecting on the next step. Really what we do over here is kind of like a pop theology, isn't it? It's not really theology, but it is. And really, I don't make any apologies for it, because I think all of theology is really pop. When you think about it, it conforms to the day, it conforms to the standards, it conforms to what is the message that people need to hear during that time. And it's not to say that the message changes, but the means change. In other words, what you heighten, what you accent, what you get out to the people. And today, when you're looking at a world that is caught up in turmoil of war, and a shrinking world, a small-sized world because of globalization, because of our ability to reach out and connect so that news travels in such a fast manner. Well, just look at Twitter. I mean, look at Twitter. You talk about pop theology. Let's talk about Twitter for a moment. I mean, they've basically, within the last few years, they've gotten us to start thinking in terms of 140 characters. Yeah? I mean, think about it. What is tweeted out there, and what is it? The population of Twitter now is it at it's at some astronomical level. I mean, if you are on Twitter, you know how many times do you get that big whale that says, "Ooh, our servers are overwhelmed right now." But even to the point that right now, not only news travels on Twitter. I remember a couple of years ago when Michael Jackson's death was announced. It was announced on Twitter. And that's how it spread. Before CNN could cover it, it was already released on Twitter, and people knew about it. But not only is news being carried on that, but you saw just a few months ago what happened in Egypt. Basically, in the entire Middle East, the news that's coming out of the Middle East, the opportunities for them to reform, to overthrow government, is based on this 140-character system called Twitter. Which everyone at some point said, well, what are you going to do with that? What could you possibly do with it? Well, you could overthrow governments, huh? You know, I think I've said this story a few times. I know maybe I've written about it. I don't know if I've shared this with you, with our Next Step listeners. But I remember 1985 when I was dabbling with computers. It was an Apple IIc that I had. This is like the grandfather of the Macintosh, you know? And I remember doing some early preliminary work on that. And the archbishop of the time, the diocesan primate, knew that I had an interest. And of course, I was serving in the Silicon Valley at that time, in San Jose area. And it wasn't that I just had an interest in it. I mean, I was a pastor. I needed to find out what my people were doing. And, well, in Silicon Valley, the Armenians were dabbling with computers. They were at that point. And I said, well, there's one way to get to know my people. I got to get to know what they're doing. And I learned computers really quickly. And when the archbishop found out about it, he asked me to give a presentation at the clergy retreat. Now, I got to tell you how I went to this clergy retreat, because now you go in a small little knapsack. If you're taking your computer, it's usually in your backpack, right? Okay, I want you to picture this giant suitcase. Not a regular suitcase, but a giant one. In it is a monitor. Yep. Yes, you've got a giant monitor in there. Well, it wasn't even giant at that time. Believe it or not, it was like a 9-inch or 10-inch. But the tube on that monitor was so huge that it filled in that suitcase. The Apple IIc unit, the cords, the patch cords that had to go with them, the speaker system and the amplification that went, you know, this is all Apple. You've got to plug it all in together. I know they're still like that too, aren't they? You want something from Apple, you got to plug it in there, don't you? Anyway, they that's how they began. That's how they're continuing. And anyway, this whole giant system I took in this big, big old suitcase to this retreat. You know, this is up in the hills, you know, we're in the hills of Santa Barbara then. And I remember giving this presentation on what computers can do for the Armenian church. And it was basically beyond desktop publishing. I was talking about organizing databases where the diocese could have a centralized database and people could plug into it and basically access and manage their parishes from a central diocesan database system. And I remember during this discussion, one of the priests kind of mocking me. After all, it was one of the young priests at the time. He like mocks me and he says, what are you going to do? Baptize with a computer? And of course, everybody, ho, 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 ho. That was funny, yes. Baptize with a computer. Oh, how could you possibly do that? Anyway, I want to say that the majority of the presentation fell on deaf ears. There's maybe one or two guys that kind of picked it up. And of course, the rest is history. Now you can't walk into a church without computers. And it's beautiful what's happened. But, you know, that's a transition of 25 years. And that's a big transition. That's a big time. Okay. But it wasn't until a few years ago that I happened to do a baptism. And the godfather was stuck in France. He couldn't come out. And there we were at the baptism. We held up a small little computer, a laptop, with a Skype client on it. And the godfather was able to join us via Skype and be present and participate in that baptism. What are you going to do? Baptize with computers? Yeah, we did. And there are so many opportunities that are in front of us right now. And so when we look at what this next step is, I don't know the full ramifications of where we are, where we're going with this, but I do know it has changed the way we look at what we can do in a ministry. I know when I hear from you from different parts in the world, I know that a couple years ago when a couple came out and they were married in our church in Glendale, and although they lived 2,000-3,000 miles away, when I asked them, why are you here? They said, well, you're the only church we have. We listen to you every week. And you realize that there is a potential there. You realize that there are dynamics there. The world is getting smaller. That globalization is here and it is part of our life. that we've got to adjust with the system. You can't be afraid of these creations, these technologies. What you do need to do is harness them, and you need to use them. And this morning, there it was. On my Facebook page, a dear friend had posted a video clip from Argentina, from Cordova. I assume it's from Argentina. It said Cordova. I'm assuming it's not the Spanish one. It must be the Argentinian because of the proximity of where the Facebook post came from. And it was basically I don't want to say a copy, but it was a reflection of what we had done for the rally for Darfur. And it was young Armenian Argentinians, Cordovians, let me say, who were talking to the people of Darfur, who were reflecting and raising consciousness about Darfur. And I realized that here it is, the power of computing, that I don't know where the next step is going to go, but here on the third anniversary of the next step, 3 years, we're seeing that people are picking up ideas. People are formulating new ideas. They're bouncing off ideas. And isn't that what this is about? Isn't that the wonder of what God has created? He's given us this brain. He's given us the ability to create. He's given us this opportunity to really reach out. Hey, happy anniversary. We're going to start off our fourth year next week, and I look forward to that. Then we could celebrate with a happy anniversary. For now, we are ready for the song of the day. Let me pick out a nice one for you. Enough time for me to get something down my throat and help out this dry throat that I have right now. Here's today's song of the day.
Hine tsava baits nore ora imne ora yev huise nora yes I'd kanapsos ush haskatsa u yerp armatneris veradartsa ins getashemin him ganzarani դրան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին Երկար ճանապարհներից օգնած ես պարկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին հառած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Ինչ եմ ես գործրել, ինչ եմ ես փնտրել, ինչ եմ ես գտել, ինչ եմ ես ստացել, ոսկի արծաթ եւ խանգարված քուն։ Վերջում փոշի ու տափակ քարի բեկոր, սա է այն ամենը, ինչ կգտնեն իմ տեղը, Ինձնից հետո եկող ճամփորդները Երկար ճանապարհներից օգնած Ես պարկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Երկար ճանապարհներից օգնած Ես պարկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին karcia na parneri zognac jest parkacem chonaorin a jaskę zjeżkiem kina raz a interes jest aprelem żamanakim a inter męk aprelem żamanakim a inter jest aprelem żamanakim a inter męk aprelem żamanakim Ein Tag ist April im Jamanakin Ein Tag mein April im Jamanakin
Unmistakable voice of Gor Mkhitaryan, as well as his music. Unmistakable. I know you've heard that before. So what can I say? It's one of my favorite. And Gor has been such an integral part of this programming and the next step that what a better way is there? Let's remember a great song. And I know that there are so many new listeners. So if you haven't heard that before, that happens to be the song called Or, Day. Gor Mkhitaryan, it is off of his Spirit album. And that Spirit album, you know what? I'm looking at Susie. She gave me the thumbs up. Okay. We're going to make this deal. Okay. For all the donations that come in between now and next week, we're going to send you out a Spirit CD. Okay. All you got to do is make a donation to the Inner Shoes Ministries or to epostle.net. Hey, that's a way to celebrate, right? What? Okay. For 2 weeks. This is the end of the third year. Next week starts the fourth. Starts the fourth year. Okay, there you go. Susie said it. The producer says it. I can't argue. So there you go. Spirit album, Gor Mkhitaryan, just an incredible musician, incredible talent and personality. And hey, speaking of Gor Mkhitaryan, you know, we did a project just a couple days ago with, we concluded a project with Von Atzor, with some of his family members in Armenia, and we were able to facilitate quite a bit of clothing to children in that area, in the villages over there. And I got to tell you that the call was made through In His Shoes, and it went beyond what we thought. And it got me to think. It got me to really think that, you know, sometimes you can plan all you want, but if it's not in God's plan, it just doesn't work out, does it? Other times you don't need to plan really, but if it is God's work, it gets done. One way that you like, one way or another. And this is interesting because just last Sunday happened to be the Sunday called the Second Palm Sunday. It is the Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost. And that in the Armenian Church, it's called the Second Palm Sunday. And as I read that Palm Sunday message, you know, about how Jesus says, you know, you're going to go to the village, you're going to find the donkey, and you're going to prepare the meal, and so on and so on. I just remembered, you know, it's all beautiful when you allow God to do his work. It all fits in perfectly. There is a harmony. There is a concert. It's not just a violin playing. It's not just a trumpet blowing. It's not just the drums beating. But it all comes together, and it presents something gorgeous. Oh, I love it. I love it too much. But that's what it's about. You know, when God is in charge of something, you've got to let him be God. I think this is one of the most beautiful things that as you grow older, you learn. And because as you grow older, what do you get? Think about it. If you're a little bit older, if you're an old guy like me too, think about it. What do you learn through time? You learn patience, right? That's something as it's not one of my virtues still, but I'm learning. But I know as a young person, I had absolutely none. I know you're looking at me like, yeah, what do you have right now? But you know, there's that beautiful prayer, the serenity prayer that Niebuhr wrote. And it's so beautiful. You know, God grant me the patience. You know, let me deal with the things that I know how to change. Let me deal with accept the things that I don't know, that I can't possibly change, and to know the difference. And I think that's where we get to when we talk about letting God take charge of your life. It's not a question of just being blind. It's not a question of being lazy, you know, kicking back, okay, God's going to be in charge. No, it's really finding that nice balance to be able to say that, yes, I can do it, but there are certain things that God needs to be with me. He needs to be giving me the strength. He needs to give me the courage, those virtues that I need to get through. And I think that's what we get from the Palms Sunday story. It's certainly what I got from all of these different projects beyond my belief when we saw how much clothes came in. And really, it's all about trusting God to take care of His church and doing the right thing. You know, a few minutes ago I said we're at the end of year three, and it's a time to reflect. It's also time to kind of put together some of the loose ends. One of them has been bugging me because right after, well, a couple things. First of all, is right after we got off the air, got some news. But first of all, last week I did give a quote to Mother Teresa. Apparently she has used it many times, but it is not her quote. And so I stand to be corrected. It is from St. Francis of Assisi. It is, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. I think words to live by, right? Definitely words to live by. On that same note, I had a chance to go to the cathedral, the Roman Catholic cathedral in Los Angeles called the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels. And it is so beautiful. I've been there a few times and very, very moving experience. But what I did want to share with you, our listeners today, is that I'm seeing so much of the Eastern Orthodox being brought in to Catholicism and to the West. I know we've seen this within the Protestant communities, many of which have been converts. If you've read the words of or the works of Francis Schaeffer, and you go back to that entire conciliar movement back in the 70s, 80s, Campus Crusade for Christ, there was a big movement from Protestantism to Orthodoxy. But it was interesting at the cathedral to see actually icons being brought over from Greece, and these icons were sitting there were actually part of that. So that was one of the beautiful newities that kind of struck my eye, especially when you see Orthodoxy over there. You see these icons, it just catches you all of a sudden. Now the other one was, it's been there since the opening of the cathedral, and I've had a chance to go to the cathedral, but it kind of struck me this time. It is such an Orthodox concept. And that was throughout the cathedral, if you ever get a chance to see it, there are some beautiful tapestries there that are life-size when you view them. In other words, they're a little bit high up. So if you use perspective to compensate for them, they become life-size. And they are all along the side walls of the cathedral. And they're called the Communion of the Saints. And in this group are not just the usual saints. You see people in there, which is very, very next steppy, armadoxy, right? We talk about armadoxy as this reflection, as this ability to take ancient Armenian orthodoxy and kind of bring it around for the day, for what's going on today, that we are also a part of orthodoxy. That it's not just the past, it's not just the church fathers, but it includes the present today. And it is so beautiful when you stand inside that cathedral to see this tapestry of saints, communion of saints, and you see in there you'll have someone like St. Bartholomew, one of the apostles, and right next to him is standing Mother Teresa. You'll see St. Francis of Assisi, one of the saints from the history of the church. And right next to him, you'll see Juan Diego. You'll see popes. You'll see saints, biblical saints, as well as church saints, contemporary people, and all standing in this tapestry, all praying together, praying with you as you're standing in there. And that is really what the essence of the icons are. That's what the entire iconography is all about. That's why in Orthodoxy you have those icons. It's the ability that you're not alone, that you're standing in this communion of saints. You know, this is an interesting idea because you don't really have this in Protestantism. A lot of times Protestants will be the first to get up and criticize Orthodoxy as well as Catholicism about the communion of saints. That why are you praying to saints? Why are you praying? You know, the idea is that, well, wouldn't you pray? Don't you pray for other people? If I ask you for a prayer right now, wouldn't you pray for me? Why would I ask you? I could pray to God. Well, you ask because there is a power in that, isn't there? It connects us at different levels. It's not that your prayer is any more powerful than anyone else's, but it connects us with something beyond ourselves, namely with community. And so they say, well, the saints, these people are dead. Wait a minute, hold on. What do you mean they're dead? Do you believe in the message of Christ? Don't you believe that they have fallen asleep in Christ? Don't you believe that they are part of the community of that church whose, the gates of hell will not prevail against it? What are you talking about? Of course they're part of it. They're part of that communion. They're standing there with you. They're praying with you. And I think that is a strength that we have in Armodoxy. Well, in the entire Orthodox Church, and as well as in Catholicism, you find that if you can tap into those saints, you find a power. You find a power. Not. I'm not talking about some kind of extrasensory kind of power, but I'm talking about a real power in you by looking at them and finding them as the example for your life. Remember, we never worship saints, but we do use them as examples to strengthen our lives. There you go. There you have it. Pop theology. What else do you want? See? It all works together. And I think it's so important that this concept of pop theology be something that we start talking about. That really, yes, there is a theology, there's systematic theology, there's incredible things that the saints have done and have offered to us. But in reality, we are down to a Twitter lifestyle where you've got this 140 character set and you've got to bring it down. And I mean, I know those of you who've studied any kind of business management know about the elevator principle when it comes to missions. I mean, think about it. Basically, the idea is you should have a mission statement for your business, something that you can express to somebody in a short elevator ride. Okay? And the time it takes you to get from the sixth floor down, can you express your mission to somebody? Can you talk to somebody about it? Well, think about it when it comes to our faith. What we talk about as what we believe. Are you able to articulate it? Are you able to present it? I mean, we struggled with this in the Inner Shoes movement. Is it a movement? Is it a mission? What are we doing? Whose shoes are we standing in? What does that mean? I mean, how do you bring it down? Let me give you a real quick Inner Shoes. Inner Shoes is an organization which rallies support for those who suffer in the world. There you go. Very clear. Inner Shoes was created in response to acts of genocide perpetuated against the Armenian nation in 1915. Okay, there was a genocide. Inner Shoes is a response. We believe that those who suffer evil have a unique responsibility to take action against injustice to others, and our actions are based on Christ's principles of love, compassion, and repaying evil with good. Okay, basically, it's a mission statement. It tells you who Inner Shoes is. Can you do that in life? Can you do that with your faith? Can you do it? And I think that's what this entire Twitter idea is so beautiful. It's getting us to really take advantage of every word. I know it's difficult. It's difficult. And yeah, why not use a whole sheet of paper when you can? Why not use a book? But to be able to articulate. There was a movie several years ago called Contact, and it is one of my favorites. If you haven't seen it, please do see it. It is very necessary. It's not about extraterrestrial life as much as it is about faith, about what it means to believe in something. Incredible movie. Jodie Foster. 1995, I believe. In it, it talks about having the language skills to be able to articulate. In it, she's confronted with this beautiful extraterrestrial experience, which she can't find the words to communicate it. And it really pits science against the poet. The poet who is able to articulate. The scientist who is there to find the facts, and sometimes those facts aren't there. Well, think about it in religious life. Those facts sometimes are missing. It doesn't make that religious experience any less than real. But to be able to articulate it, to present it, is an important one. And I think that's what Twitter does. It's kind of forcing us to that 140 limit. Yeah, I know. I could go for 180. I could go for 200. I do. It's called the next step. It's called a podcast where I get to talk. Speaking of movies, I did see Les Miserables this week. No, not a new version of it. I saw the oldest possible version. Save the book. I saw the 1935 with Frederick March, Charles Laughton. It is a classic. Okay, after you see Contact, go and see Les Miserables. It's available just about everywhere. Just a well worth movie. Gotta check it out. Okay, final thing I wanted to share with you. Last week, after we finished recording our next step, I got the news on the usual ways that Geronimo Pratt had passed away. Now, I got the CNN release, and I want to just share it with you because there's a couple of things that you do need to hear. You do need to hear what's being said and who this person was. It was special in my life because I did have a chance to meet this individual. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But former Black Panther, I'm reading right out of CNN right now. Former Black Panther Elmer Geronimo Pratt, who was wrongly imprisoned for 27 years on a murder conviction, died Thursday in Tanzania. He was 63. Stuart Hanyon, a San Francisco-based lawyer who helped overturn Pratt's murder conviction, said he did not know the exact cause of death. Pratt died in a small village in Tanzania where he lived with his wife and his child. Pratt was called a true American, saying that he was Hanlon. The attorney says he was a true American, saying that he was an army veteran who had served two tours in Vietnam before joining the Black Panther Party. He could have been a great leader. He was very charismatic. Hanlon said his legacy is that he never gave up. He never got despondent or angry. He was convicted for 20, and he served a sentence of 27 years before they found some evidence that was withheld from the jury. Basically, the victims who they accused him of murder, the victim's husband identified somebody else, and they kept this from the jury. Can you imagine? They kept it from the jury just to convict this Black Panther, just to get him off the streets. And they convicted him, and he spent 27 years until it was finally overturned in 1997. Now here's what I wanted you to catch over here. After his release, Pratt told CNN that he held no bitterness about the many years he spent behind bars. I don't think bitterness has a place. I'm more understanding. Understanding doesn't leave any room for bitterness or anger. Of the 27 years he spent in prison, Pratt said, 8 was in solitary confinement. He said his spirituality and love of music helped him through this period. My mantra was the blues. It would go through my head when I was going through my meditations. 1997, he was released, and I had a beautiful opportunity to meet him because I had just moved to Pasadena. The mayor of Pasadena was Bill Paparian, and he actually, we just met. I just met the mayor, and Bill Paparian, an advocate for human rights, for civil rights, had somehow managed to get Geronimo Pratt to come to the Rose Bowl, where we had a small little reception for him. This is right, I think, days after his release. And he asked me to give the invocation. And there I tied in the struggle of the Black Panthers, the struggle of the civil rights movement here in this country, and the injustice that had taken place. I tied it in with the Armenian situation. And we got to be friends for a few moments. We got to exchange a few ideas with this, I've got to say, a giant of a man, anybody who can squelch that anger and could put that to one side. You know, I mean, in the face of injustice. I think we have so much to learn by people, from people like this. And I want to put a link to this article on our website. Do check him out. Do check out his story. I think it is something that needs to be discussed and needs to be read at the very least. Okay, you have noticed we are getting late and there is no Ani today. It's sad. Ani is not here today because she is graduating. Of course, we're so happy. She's graduating. She is graduating with her RN. She's going to be an RN, a nurse, registered nurse. And I am so proud of her personally. She's just one of a kind. You hear her bubbles every week. She's just an individual who is filled with so much love and compassion that she really has a calling for nursing. Because her calling is one of giving faith, hope, and love. And that's a beautiful calling. It's one that not too many people answer. I think many people are called to that. Not too many people answer. She does answer it. She graduates this week. We are so proud of her. And I send out my love to her, to her family, wishing you all the best. Today and every day. And here's a small little song for you. Something I picked out just for you.
Tiptoes in silence round my bed. And quiet the raindrops overhead. With her everlasting smile, she stills my fever for a while. Oh, nursey dear, I'm glad you're here to brush away my pain.
Did you like that? Nursey dear. Ani, all the best to you. I know you get the chance to hear her voice every week. You get to hear her bubbles and takes your mind off different places. I got to tell you, as beautiful as her voice is, she is just an inside, outside beautiful lady. And, you know, when you see people like this that are dedicating their lives to the service of other people, to helping other people, you've got to encourage them. You've got to be proud of people like that. You've got to be proud that you could consider someone like that as part of your family, as part of your associates, as part of your life. Because really, it's what's missing in this world today. I did a counseling session just 4 days ago. It was a very tragic one, one of a family breaking apart. And I got to tell you, the one thing that really struck out at me was how deep materialism is. I mean, I'm not talking about 90%. I'm talking about 100%. Where everything is about money. Everything is about what you have. Everything is about what's in your pocket. And not one thing. Not one thing about what's in your heart. We just talked about Geronimo Pratt. Where was his treasure? It was in his heart. To be able to forgive, to be able to walk away without bitterness. You talk about a young person who really, you know, if you're going to go to school, you're going to be spending 6-7 years. There's a lot of things you can do that will make your pockets bulge. You can make a lot of money by doing some big things after school. But how about the people who have hearts, who are giving of themselves to help others, whether it's in the healthcare, whether it's in psychological, or even in the ministry? whatever it may be, reaching out to people. You need to be able to support these people. And I say this today because, you know, we are right at the Feast of Pentecost. And Pentecost is the celebration of the church. And the church is a very misunderstood concept, especially today. Especially in a world where materialism has overtaken all of our senses and our reason. A church is a misunderstood concept because there are so many crackpots out there. People that are proclaiming Christianity, and their whole basis to fame, their whole claim to fame, is that they've read the Bible and never once understood that Christianity is community. You see, there can be no such thing as one Christian. It doesn't make sense. It's not what Christ was about. He was about community. He came to tell us how we can interact with one another, how we need to interact with one another, how we need to love one another. And that one another is just as important as the verb to love. Because you need an action, you need an object to that verb. It has to be one another. And that community is what he calls the church. St. Paul articulates it. He says, Christ is the head. And he says, the church is the body. Think about that for a moment. What is the head without a body? What is a body without a head? I mean, if you're just a body, but you don't have a head, you don't have all the resources to be able to make those decisions. Okay, are you going to pick up that pen over there? Are you going to pick up the trash? Are you going to put one foot in front of the other and start walking? Are you going to do it a little faster and start running? Who makes that decision? The head makes the decision. A body without the head is useless. Think of the other way now. Yes, this will offend people. But the head without the body is also useless. It just thinks. It just conceives. It has notions. But it can't get any work done. It can't do anything. And this is the beauty of the church-Christ relationship, of us working with Christ together in harmony, that the head says one thing and the church reacts and does the work of God here on earth. That is what we celebrate at Pentecost, that the disciples who had now received this great commission on Ascension Day, you read this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, he directs them, and he says, this is the Great Commission. Go out there. Do the work. Tell people what I'm all about. Tell people what Christianity is all about, what I have taught you. Remember to love one another. Remember to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember that I'm with you till the end of the ages. The Great Commission is given. Now, where's the tools? What are the tools? How are these disciples going to act on this commission? That's where the church comes in. And it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit descended on them. You could read this in Acts, in the first few chapters of Acts. Beautiful. Because we now see Holy Spirit descending on these disciples and converting them, making them into apostles. You see, a disciple is a student. An apostle is one who is sent. So these disciples now transform and become the original apostles, ones who are sent to all four corners of the world, having the tools necessary to preach, to teach. And so they have the language skills. This is why when you read that passage about utterance, it's not nonsensical words. It says it very clearly in the book of Acts, that people were hearing the apostles, who now had the gift of language, of utterance, and everyone was hearing in their own language. In other words, these were audible, these were languages that made sense to one another. These apostles went to different areas, and we know from tradition that two of them, Thaddeus and Bartholomew, received the gift of speaking Armenian and came to Armenia, preaching, teaching, and there was established the Armenian Apostolic Church. the Armenian Church is an apostolic church because it is founded by the apostles and continues the traditions of the apostles. And there you have it. That's what this Sunday is. In English, it's called Pentecost, but I prefer the Armenian word Hokekalust. I promised you a word a week. There it is, Hokekalust. And you get two words out of that. Hoki means spirit. Galust means coming. The coming of the Holy Spirit. It is descriptive of the action. That God did not leave his disciples hanging out there, but wanted this movement in this world. Wanted Christianity to go to all four corners of the world. And so established the Christian church. And there you have it. The ability to take that message and teach the language of love to all nations. Celebrate with me this Sunday. Go to your Armenian church. Get involved. If you can't, put on this podcast. Get the word out. Read the Holy Scriptures. Get out there and understand that a Christian is one who reaches out. And in celebration of that, reach out. Get on our website, inhisshoes.org. Participate. Participate in the many programs that we have. Get on epostle.net. Listen to what's being said and learn and participate. Become a participant and not just a listener. That is what Pentecost, Hokekalust, is all about. No more listening, but a time to action. We are at the end of today's podcast. I want to thank you for joining us. And as I said, get involved. Get involved where you can. Do something. This morning we saw on our Facebook page something that the people in Argentina had done. That was so beautiful. I shared with you a few minutes ago. Get involved on our Facebook page. We are In His Shoes on Facebook. There's so many places to get involved. InHisShoes.org. And there's links to our associates out in Darfur, out in Sudan. Many ways that you could make the presence of Christ real. Hey, listen, I told you a few minutes ago that I'm going to be going through some medical procedures. I definitely need your prayers at this time, and I appreciate your prayers for our ministry, for us personally, and you are in our prayers. Know that every one of you who writes to us, who communicates with us, is remembered in our prayers, and we ask that God's blessings be with you. We conclude the third year of podcasting, the next step, and we look forward to beginning with you next week. Until then, for the wonderful crew who puts this together and all the people in the background for this past 3 years, you get to see our producer Susie, our Bubbles with Ani, and Ken, our engineer, and the, well, I want to say hundreds of people in the background who pray with us, who share with us, who listen for us, who give us critiques. For all the wonderful people, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.